welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only real estate podcast made by real estate agents for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host. And we have a new feature that we're announcing that we're going to be introducing in subsequent episodes where we feature your questions and have either our interviewee or another top producer answer. So if you're a broker and you're struggling with a particular area of your business, or you just want some assistance or help, you can write in and get some help from a successful Chicago real estate broker. The way to do that is you can either submit those questions directly through our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/keepingitrealpod, or directly through our website, which is keepingitrealpod.com. Click on the contact button and submit your question there. Also, if you found that this has been helpful and you enjoy the show, please share it with anyone else that you think could benefit from it. So if you have other brokers, realtors in your office, or even that you meet out in the field, please tell them. Our audience is growing substantially, and we want to get this in front of as many ears as possible. So thanks in advance for being a continued listener and also passing the word. Today on the show, we're speaking with Amy Kaloujian. Amy grew up in the Chicago suburbs, where she liked sports, school, and being curious. As a kid, after graduating Glenbrook North High School, also my mom's alma mater, she attended Princeton University, where she earned a degree with honors in politics. At Princeton, Amy played Division I softball and club rugby. After returning home, Amy earned her master's degree in integrated marketing from Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism. Previous to becoming a licensed broker, Amy worked at the Chicago Tribune, where she was senior manager in charge of marketing efforts for the Tribune's $90 million real estate advertising division. Today, Amy has transacted nearly $85 million in career sales and is an executive vice president of Swate Group at Dreamtown Realty, a team that boasts over $100 million in career sales in the Anderson-Edgewater area. Just 2 weeks ago, Amy and a real estate partner launched an Andersonville Edgewater specific real estate website called edgevillehomes.com. Amy consistently garners the annual Top Producer Sales Award by the Chicago Association of Realtors, a distinct honor earned by only the top tier of local brokers. Outside of real estate, Amy enjoys collecting old Chicago maps. She also co-founded and produces the Backlot Bash, one of the nation's 10 largest pride events for women. Amy is a federal club member of Human Rights Campaign, and in 2017, Go Magazine selected Amy as one of 100 out women featured in their Women We Love issue, which showcased talented tastemakers, influencers, and all-around inspirational women from all over the country. Amy's most civic commitment is her ongoing dedication as an executive board of director at Girls in the Game, a Chicago nonprofit that provides transformative programming for girls in underserved communities to become confident leaders and excel as game changers. Well, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, DJ. Pleasure to be with you.
And again, I know you've been very patient through a few technical glitches, so thanks. But let's talk about how you got to be in real estate, because your career path, started seemingly in a different direction. So how did you decide to get into real estate?
Sure. Began my career in 2005 as a realtor, and before that, I worked at the Chicago Tribune for about 10 years, and I did a variety of things for the Tribune, from like media relations was my first job coming out of the Medill School of Journalism, right. And then I moved on to some sports marketing positions within the Tribune, and then from there, always in the marketing department, I started doing consumer marketing and business-to-business marketing to our advertisers for the classified sections, which included the real estate section. And it was really that experience that cultivated my knowledge on the Chicago market and really proved a natural fit for my entry into the transactional side of the industry. A couple days after work a week, I would walk down Michigan Avenue and go to the car headquarters and sit in the real estate classes. And it really was something that I just thought I'd have in my back pocket because it seemed interesting to me. It was never something that I really thought would become a full-time, career for me. because I really did enjoy working at the Chicago Tribune. But what ended up happening was I had my first transaction and then my second, and I really loved it. It was fun. It was new. It seemed, you know, my personality seemed to fit the types of interactions I was having with my clients. And so I just sort of was devising a way to, you know, exit one career and bridge into another. And so it sort of was happenstance and a little bit of good luck and just opportunity and the right timing. The Tribune was going back to be a privately held company at the time. And that's when I made my exit. My mom and dad thought I was completely nuts. They didn't understand why I would, you know, leave a completely stable, secure salary job to, you know, to make a foray into the real estate world. But over time, it just proved to be a great fit. So basically, it allowed me flexibility. It provided me ability to kind of create and run and grow my own business. And it enabled me an opportunity to cultivate something, you know, I really valued, which was just sort of having a more deeper impact and more direct relationships with clients. So I still, after, you know, all these years, still get a very special feeling helping clients find or sell a home. It's fulfilling to play a, you know, major role in a really important decision and a personal milestone in people's lives. So it's fulfilling, and it feels really, really, I feel happy doing this as a career.
Well, that for sure comes through in the way you communicate, and it's a very sincere and authentic sort of, you know, part of your character that I think is really important, because people are making these personal, very important decisions, of course, with where they live and oftentimes maybe buying their first house. And, you know, with having a realtor, I know when I bought my condo back in 2005, not too far from Andersville in Uptown, my broker was one of my friends, and he was wonderful because his policy was he never wanted me to have to call him to find out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that was his customer service philosophy. It was like, he never wanted me to have to call him first. And so as a result, he just had to really hold my hand, and I'm a pretty easy client, but he still had to make sure that, you know, he was thinking about all, and he knew with it being my first home that would be, you know, a particularly more challenging type of client than somebody that's had several transactions, just with all the information I was probably requesting. I wanted to ask about, because you played softball in college. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about some of the discipline that is required for a student athlete at the collegiate level to be able to manage, and by the way, Princeton on top of it, which is not an easy school to coast through. I had a friend that ran cross country at Princeton, and so he did the same sort of track. Mm. And the discipline it must have required to get through that. Has that helped you in business as well? Just learning those skills early on.
Oh, sure. I mean, I graduated from the same high school your mom did. It sounds like, I didn't know that, but that's an awesome fact. When I was in high school, I played sports from a very, really early life. So, I've been a Cubs fan my whole life. Baseball, you know, I was the only girl in the little league playing, you know, against the boys, with the boys side by side. It, you know, from a really young age, I learned the benefits of teamwork, and always felt very comfortable being part of a team. And when I carried that through high school and decided to apply to college, I really wasn't that popular to play sports in college as a female. This was in the late 80s, early 90s. And once I got there and decided to play, it was one of the best experiences of my life. Yes, it did. You know, the skill sets you learn from playing sports in high school and even as a young girl, all those came into play. You know, college is different for everybody. It's not like high school where you have, you know, 5 hours of class a day. You have few classes each day. I found that I had little more free time than I did in high school, even though there was still softball practice every day, you know, every day, and then the travel schedule. So during the season is when I found, when we were traveling a lot for games. But, you know, the professors and, you know, the classmates, if I'm out and can't attend a class, you know, take notes. And there was a real collaborative environment just at the university, believe it or not, which is actually wasn't what I expected, but I found it to be. And a real camaraderie with the other students. So everyone was always sort of helping each other out, giving you their class notes if you missed it. And, you know, time management is important because it relays into real estate in an incredible way. And also, I believe playing a sport, whether it's in college or in varsity or intramural, it teaches you how to have a strong balance, how to lose. You know, you can't always win, so you learn lessons in disappointment really early in life. And you take those with you. Everything, you know, every experience in life you build on, and hopefully it helps and comes out in your career. So yeah, I don't think it was unlike playing a sport in any other college. It was intense, but made it through.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, you basically said it. It's teamwork and discipline, you know, were real important to you. And those were two things that it sounds like have really stuck with you throughout your career. It obviously takes tremendous discipline to have the success you have, and you are on a team. So So it sounds like you've been on teams your whole life.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is pretty cool. And the couple other things I wanted to mention, which I think really should not in any way be sort of glossed over, it's just the amount of community involvement or philanthropic involvement you have with various organizations and not so much as a means to an end, I'm sure. In other words, I'm not part of this organization because, you know, hey, I'll get my name out there and get me some additional business. I'm sure that is not the intention. I'm sure that probably happens as well. But how important is it for you to give back? And have you seen a direct correlation between, you know, has that resulted in business simply by being part of these organizations and providing to them?
Sure. Well, you may be referencing my involvement with Girls in the Game, which is a local nonprofit that we're 22 years old. And this was an organization that after college, I read an article in a now defunct women's sports magazine, but and it talked about this woman in Chicago who started this organization that would introduce sports to young girls to teach them lessons in leadership and self-esteem, and for them to realize untapped potential and to help them find their voice. And so from a very, you know, from just out of college, I was the first intern that the foundation had. And from there, staying involved, I've become on the board of directors of that organization. Has it helped my real estate career? There are a few people within the organization that I've helped find homes, and that's always wonderful. So I think but you have to do something because your heart is affiliated with it. And for me, it's all about the young girls who, I grew up on the North Shore. Like, I went to a pretty stable high school with stable surroundings. Mm-hmm. And I look, as living in the city now for the last 25 or 27 years, I know the challenges that our school kids and young girls in particular are facing, and they're not the ones that are always paid attention to as a priority with a lot of the funding dollars. So for me, knowing what sports did in my life and helped me from one step to the next, I just don't want to see, you know, like a young girl with so much potential be sidelined or not feel it or not find her voice. So yeah, it's more important to me, not because of, you know, business, but more just because it's in my heart. I think it helps to show when you are in any profession that you have a balance in your life. And if we were 100% dedicated to just one thing, that to me, it for myself becomes what, you know, where I start to sense like an imbalance and so you have to have good social time. You have to have, hard work time. And, you know, for me, part of that is having giving back time. So it's sure. Kind of all plays a role in my attitude and personality. And that is what like comes across every day when I'm interacting with clients. So it all kind of is connected. So, yeah.
Yeah, I have a charity that I'm involved with where it's every other Tuesday I go to a place and I do a thing and nobody has, and I've been doing it for years, nobody has ever asked me what do I do in my professional life. It would never result in business, but
Sure.
that's of course not the reason to do it
And
anyway.
one of the other
But
that's one of the other things that I've done for the past 14 years. My a co I've co-founded and co-produced a women's pride event in
yes.
Andersonville, and that event, the team sponsors and Dreamtown is sponsored, but I never have time during that event to build my own business. I'm
No, you're
running
too
around,
busy.
and it's like, I wish I had more, because it's like all these wonderful people right there, and it's perfect. But it just, it's just nice too, just sometimes for branding or awareness. But it's certainly not a hard sell, but it's fulfilling. So that's why I
Well,
do it.
let's plug that. That's Backlot Bash,
Yes,
correct?
that's Backlot
So,
Bash.
and if people want to get involved with Backlot Bash, how would they do that?
Oh, sure. They would reach out to me through Facebook. We have a Backlot Bash page, or info at backlotbashchicago.com. And there are a lot of ways to become involved. Just reach out to me. I'm pretty easy to find because most brokers are all over the website if you just type their name in. And
Wow.
I'm happy. We need a lot of volunteers and friends and family to make that event run smoothly, so we can always use some extra hands for sure. We're
And the
planning now for
same
next
goes.
year, actually. So it's every June.
And then also with Girls in the Game, which we referenced earlier, that's another organization. If you're interested, get in touch with Amy
Sure,
as well
sure.
to help younger women. And so, it's funny, whenever we talk to top producers, and we get a lot of feedback, which is always like, okay, the next time you talk to a top producer, which is usually who we talk to, they go, you have to ask them what's the secret, or what's the one thing that producer knows that maybe the other brokers don't. I don't know if there is a secret, but what would you say if somebody were to ask, what's made you more successful maybe than others who have started at the same time with the same resources that you had in real estate?
Sure. Well, I think that actually comes down to defining success. And for a lot of people,
Sure.
it is about the numbers, and it is about being a top, aspiring to be a top producer. And I can't say purposely that that was my original intention. And I don't know that there is a secret sauce, but I do know that you can't, shouldn't probably expect immediate results. It took me a few years to become even in the consideration set of a top producer. And I think one of the key lessons is to be patient with yourself, because if you as a new agent try to do everything that can remotely lead to business, you'll go insane, because there's so many ways to build your business and there's not one answer. If you pick an avenue that you feel comfortable with, for some, it's cold calling. That's not my thing. For others, it's generating business through buying leads on websites, and that's great. If
Sure.
you do one thing, take a deep dive into it, but don't feel you have to take that deep dive like right away. Like I feel always sort of slow and steady wins the race. That's a little bit my mantra, and that's kind of how it's been for me. But you have to pick a strategy that also matches your personality, and don't give up, because my first real estate transaction was one of my most memorable and frankly one of the most unusual transactions that I had. And I was, if I didn't have my mentor, to bounce what happened off of, I think I would have been, really scared to keep trying to pursue this career. And it turned out, that everything turned out okay. But you have to kind of work through some of those setbacks, even if they happen early on. Don't lose your confidence, And I think that's one of the main things. People, clients just want to be helped. They want to be advised, and they want to know and trust who they're working with. And if that's what you exude, then that's what they will pick up on, and that's what will build your business. So, you know, starting with friends and family, I think, is critical. And the easiest way, I think, to garner some transactions under your belt and then to keep it going through their referrals. So
and who better to forgive you if you screw something up? The friends and family. Those are the most likely to forgive you.
Or they will never speak to you again for the rest of your life. So
but I've always said that too, which is that you know, I was just talking to a new broker. She's at a different firm right before we got on. And she said, boy, you know, I'm really not confident. And she's in her first like 6 months. And I said, you're not supposed to be confident in your first 6 months. You're supposed to be scared and you're supposed to not know everything. And I said, it's okay to say to the client, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Client, there would be times when I might not 100%, you know, you might ask me a question. And if I don't 100% have the answer, I'm going to check with my team and get right back to you. And just this huge sigh of relief came over her when she realized, oh yeah, that makes sense, you know, and you can say that to your clients. You can say, this is my first year in the business and I don't know everything yet, but I have a team that can help me. And, you know, so please give me some latitude if I need to get back to you, you know, whatever.
An excellent point. I think that that's a great approach, and know your style and be as honest as you can with, you know, with your clients. And I think at the end of the day, you'll find that that actually builds success. And don't get sucked into, you know, some of the, you know, the bravado you may see walking around your office. And it's easy to feel insecure at any point in your career when, you know, you've got a lot of types of personalities that are in this industry. Some are smooth talkers, some are fast talkers, some don't talk at all. But, you know, I think that you'll don't let the people around you dismantle like your style and who you are. And, you know, you can learn something from everybody for sure. And I would say be like a sponge those first few years, and never think you know it all, because, you know, we know we don't. We're always learning new and better ways to do things, new approaches. And if I didn't have someone that would share their expertise with me, because let's face it, when you come out of real estate school, you don't really know how to make it through a transaction. You know the legalities of certain things, but the practicality of running a real estate business or a career isn't really, you know, knowledge that they teach in school. So it's important for, I think, every experienced agent, you know, to be open to sharing and giving back. And I think it helps, you know, bolster our broker community in general. And
you're right. I wanted to go back to you talked about your first transaction being unusual. Mm-hmm. Care to give us any specifics? People love a good story.
Sure. So my first sale was with two friends who were selling their condo in Edgewater. And I had a really rough time negotiating the deal. I mean, first, it was the first deal I was negotiating. So let's just say that's the ground level that, like, you know, we're dealing with. But the buyer's agent was really combative and really rude. And it wasn't something I was really expecting, because I was happy it was my first transaction. And okay, they put an offer in, now I'm gonna come back at this price. And I had my mentor by my side, who is my business partner today, Todd. And he was, you know, coaching me. And when it was clear that we were pretty far, it wasn't like, you know, the other broker said, hey, check your comps or this or that. He really went to this really personally insulting me. You know, I'm smoking the crack pipe, and he yelled that I'd never sell this home for one dime more than what his clients were offering. I'll never forget that, you know, statement. And I was just like shocked on the phone that he was really combative. And I really believe he felt he could bully me, maybe because you know, maybe he looked me up and knew I didn't have anything under my belt, you know, at the time. So, you know, I could just say, though, that, you know, we ended up not coming to terms. Less than a week later, though, I was under contract with another buyer for $15,000 more. So in a way, I feel like I didn't acquiesce. I felt like good about, you know, about my point of view and the data I was using to support it. And in the end of the day, I think that for sale inspired me to continue forward with growing confidence in the abilities. And it also, frankly, taught me that how important it is to treat other realtors with equal respect as colleagues in the industry, no matter what their level of experience or sales volume or the brokerage they work for, because, you know, it didn't need to happen. I don't know. Maybe it was just his personality or something, but it left a mark on me, and I will never forget who that is, and I will never mention sure. any names.
Well, it is called a cooperative commission, right? Sometimes yes. sometimes brokers forget that it's called a cooperative. Tell us about the Andersonville incident.
Okay, so this was a funny experience. So I had husband and wife. They were looking for a property in Andersonville. They lived in Andersonville, but wanted to stay in the area. And so there was a great top floor, 3-bed, 2-bath short sale that was on the market. This must have been in, 2010 or 2011. I can't recall exactly. So as I made the appointment, the listing agent said, hey, it was on lockbox. Hey, there are a couple, you know, there's a cat in the unit. There'll be some treats. Just give the cat a treat and you'll be fine. Okay, great. You know, I have a dog. I'm not a cat person, but I've been around cats. I get it. So we walk up, my clients, we're all happy to see the spot, you know, the place. And right at the top of the staircase in the vestibule still, like on top, not even in the unit, was this case of cat treats. I was like, okay, that's weird. It's not like inside on the kitchen counter or something, but that's fine. So we're like, okay. So unlock the door, go in. We just actually unlocked the door and stepped a few feet in. And all of a sudden this cat attacked us and started, puffy fur and tail going nuts and started hissing and we just froze. And we didn't even make it 10 steps into the living room. And the husband ran out screaming like a baby in a cute way. And the wife and I were left inside the living room just standing there when this cat was like clawing it. She had a jean skirt, exposed legs. And we yelled for him to open the door and throw a treat down the hallway, get the cat like away. So he cracked the door open, threw a treat down the hallway. The cat like got distracted, but for like 2 seconds, but it was enough for us to just run out. We never saw that condo again, but I knew from the first look that it was an awesome condo. So I made another appointment to go back with them like 2 days later, and I made him get the cat like out of there for us. And we ended up buying the short sale and coming to terms, and they've enjoyed that space for several years. And actually we're going to be relisting that space pretty soon, and they're going to do very well because we tolerated the cat.
That's really funny.
The funny part was on the second showing, when we actually got to see the condo, there was a frame picture of the cat. And frame, it said, "Good kitty, kitty."
Oh boy!
And we just started dying. And it's just a story that we, you know, when he reached out, he's like, "Oh, you know," I'm like, "How can I forget that story? That's one of my all-time faves experience. It was a vicious, vicious cat."
How important has it been to focus in on sort of one, you know, a few geographic areas? I know you guys specialize primarily in the Andersonville-Edgewater area. Is that correct?
Yes, obviously we sell all over the city, but sure. we live and work in Andersonville, Edgewater, so it's not only familiar to us, but we're here every day weaving through the streets and seeing what's going on. So it just happens to be where we have grown the core of our business. And for a lot of different reasons, it's not critical. I don't think one of my first transactions was up near the Wisconsin border, and I've been as down south as Kankakee. But wow. I do think there's a certain confidence when you really know a territory and you know the inventory, and you keep better track of that inventory because it's in a more defined zone. There's just no doubt that comes across, and that confidence is in this area, in this section of the city, is strong for us because of how much time we spend here, and also the collaborative approach we take with each other too, in terms of a team. But yeah, so it's not critical, but it's been successful for us because of how ingrained we are in the area here.
Yeah, and I wanted to also end with, and I know we you talked privately with me about maybe not bringing this up, but we have to bring it up. And so we talked about some of the funny experiences you've had, and you've given us a few of those anecdotes, but I'm trying to think of the easiest way to say, I'll just come out and say it. You went, I imagine it was a showing, and you, in a foreclosure rather, you saw a device that a swing device used for amorous activities.
Oh, beautiful. Yes.
In a foreclosure, and obviously not expecting to see that. I'm guessing.
No.
Wasn't in the description.
And not expecting to see it, of course. Yeah. Was not one of the, options to check off in the MLS. That would be transferable with the property, but yeah, we went into a foreclosure unit. I think a lot of units in the building are in foreclosure, but, walked right in, and the first thing we saw was just a sex swing. And those things happen, well, maybe not that, but funny things happen along the way, unusual things at showing. So we just all kind of went with it and had a nice time with it, and it became like a running joke. I'm sure if every agent sent in their most unusual sightings on showings, we'd have a pretty entertaining list to go through. But I've also run into porn collections out in the open, not even in the closets, videos of, unlocked guns.
I love the, because you, I imagine with what you're, the list that you're using right now, you were not the listing agent on any of these.
You were
working with a buyer. Because I just love that the listing agent, when they're getting the place prepped and goes, no, leave the sex swing up. Don't take it down. Leave it up. We want that up for all the showings.
That's like someone perfect had staging for this room. It's perfect.
Yes. I walked into a place once that I was interested in buying that they had painted the ceiling of the dining room, I think. And it was in Uptown actually. And they painted it to resemble the sky. So if I remember, I think Bellagio has this in their mall in Las Vegas. It's like they paint the top to look like a sky. And I went, you can paint over anything. It's no big deal. But I went, that is just, this poor listing agent, cause you walk in and you see it and you just go, ugh, not as funny as a sex swing, but I love the unlocked gun. Let's talk about there's just a gun just sitting out, or.
Well, if you open the closet, it was kind of laying sideways on the shelf. It was pretty easily reachable. Yeah. It was not that was something more recent actually, but, yeah, there are some crazy things. Another crazy one was seeing a coffin in a home, and that was kind of freaky.
Did you open the lid?
Estate sale too, which kind of like you knew they were preparing for like an estate sale, and it was just sort of like, okay, yeah, we just took that one too. We didn't open it. We didn't do it.
Oh, you'd have to open it.
No, we knew the seller was dying to sell anyway, so we didn't open it.
I just love that they had their own coffin in their place waiting for them.
I don't know if it was art or what, but it was a little intense. It was just really out of place, of course. The other things, that was probably the most shocking thing that you would never expect to see in a home.
Sure.
But the other things, maybe you'd come across that, just not out in the open. But anyways, yeah, we all have stories like that. And I even as stories with great MLS pictures that aren't so great, we could do like a nice coffee table book with those.
Oh, it is truly amazing. Like people, who just do it on their phones and, just have, or the lighting's all off or whatever.
Actually, that's good. Yeah, that's a good point. Those things are important, and I really would advise it. It really is worth an investment to take professional photos in a home. For any new agent, even though it seems like you want, you don't want to spend that much money right now, but I think it'll pay off in the long run. So, please, agents, get professional photos.
Okay, give one more piece of advice to brokers who are looking to take their business to that next level. What do you think has been the reason? And you've given a lot of really good, strong examples of, what to do. But is there anything else that you see people missing, like that really separates you from other brokers?
I think that there are two things, maybe if I can give a piece of advice. The first thing for any broker at any skill level would be to come up with processes and procedures for this very difficult or detail-oriented process of, not just making the sale, but going from contract to close. And I think that adhering to processes and procedures will help you not feel overwhelmed at certain points in the process. And it'll ease, it'll make a transaction, go smoother. And I would also say to think creatively about your approaches to solving problems, whether, this might come with more experience for some, experience meaning more transactions under your belt. But I think that, if you could come up with solutions to problems that aren't, the obvious, or, and be involved in the process, even with the mortgage process to some degree, once you get comfortable with it, because there are a lot of times when one mortgage broker can't do something, but another company can, and being aware and knowing kind of what's out there and different resources is also really important. So I would say having a good balance of resources and getting your processes down so that you can practice in a more disciplined manner. It's never a perfect science. I mean, even my team and I, we're still, fine-tuning things like that. So it's an never-ending sort of endeavor, but it was really helpful for me. And then coaching. I'm in a nice position where I could, afford to, hire a coach. And I would say at some point in your career, if you're ever feeling stagnant or sales are kind of staying level and you want to grow, but you can't figure out what maybe is that thing that's stopping me, or what is this obstacle that's, getting a different perspective sometimes in our own work habits is actually a really critical thing. So that's what I would say, DJ, for sure.
Yeah. And with just to piggyback on the coaching thing, sometimes it's just to remind you to do the fundamentals too, where you're paying somebody to remind, it's like paying a personal trainer to remind you to do pushups, where you're like, I know I should do that, but I'm not doing it.
I know.
And so having a coach, a lot of it's just having accountability and making sure that, they're going to ask you, hey, did you do X, Y, and Z? And you're paying them to help keep you accountable. And so I think coaching is great, even if necessarily maybe the person doesn't necessarily maybe give you additional insight, although that's wonderful. But even if they're just reminding you of what you already know, but not doing is huge.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure.
Yeah. Well, you have said it all. I do want to plug a couple of quick things for you. Mm-hmm. We talked about the organizations that you're involved in, but also you just launched a new website, and mm-hmm. Let's make sure that people can check it out. It's Edgeville Homes. So it's kind of a combination of Edgewater and Andersonville, but it's edgevillehomes.com. And it's very cool. And it will give you sort of an understanding of how serious that Amy and her team take sort of their brand and how professional. It's a clean looking site. It's very useful. And I was very impressed by it. I see a lot of broker websites. So it's definitely a feather in your cap. And then also if there are any buyers, sellers, investors, even renters per se that are looking for some real estate help, how would they best get in touch with you?
Oh, sure. They can Google me. My name is spelled A-M-I-E. It's Amy Kalugian, K-L-U-J-I-A-N, or they could just simply email me at amy.kalugian@dreamtown.com or Amy, A-M-I-E, at swakegroup.com, which is the name of my team.
And that's S-W-A-K-E group.
Yes.
So Amy, you have said it all. And this was wonderful. I really appreciate your time. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, DJ. I appreciate you doing this for the community. It's fantastic.